never met you before. I've never seen you in person. You do look like a rock star.
Oh, thanks, Craig.
He's handsome, isn't he?
Drinks like one, too.
No, man. I'm on the wagon.
Really?
Yeah.
Just for today?
Or? 3 weeks.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't even know you anymore.
Self-imposed. He'd be a rocker. Let's do that.
I'm getting old, man. It's time to slow down.
So is it going to be forever, or is it just...
It's,
you're doing a detox,
goal,
right?
My goal is 6 weeks.
6 weeks?
Yeah. And at that point, I'll decide whether I'm going to go back to being a drunk or maybe stick with sobriety for a while. Who knows?
Hmm.
I'm proud
Any
of you.
Any bets? Any wagering?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. I was just curious.
None that he's involved in.
So I'm not a huge music aficionado like you guys, but...
More aficionado. What?
Affectionado?
Affectionado, mm-hmm. Yeah. But my kid turned me on to the new Chili Peppers CD. That was a Stadium Arcadia.
Arcadium, I think.
Arcadium. It's good.
It's a double disc.
Yeah.
You're better than that, Rick.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I liked it.
You don't like Chili Peppers?
No.
No.
I like that album, though.
Yeah?
I liked Chili Peppers when I was in high school.
Yeah.
I liked Mother's Milk and Blood Sugar Sex Magik, and then after that,
well, this one's good.
Well, Danny, you opened for a band that I've been big fans of for a long time. I heard you talking about them a couple years ago, Little Feet.
Yeah.
And so I'm a big Little Feet fan.
Yeah, they were nice people. Very good people. They played one song that I believe lasted 23 minutes.
Yes. As a Little Feet fan...
Good thing you weren't on the wagon during that song.
I can't stand that. I just can't stand it. Just like play some more of their hits and stuff.
So what's a backstage pass get you for a sort of concert?
There's no such thing.
No?
No.
Can't just flash?
No, you just kind of...
walking by?
You just walk up to the bar, usually. And
you never have laminates?
Never had a laminate that I'm aware of. Well, for maybe
tickets. Well, you've made it when you have a sort of laminate?
What is... I don't know. What is making it, Davey? Think about it.
Yeah, what is making it?
Is making a living playing music making it? Or being
I would say
multi-million selling...
Well, do you make a living playing in sort of?
No. Not at all. No, but it's an amazing tax write-off.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because it loses
a lot of losses.
Buttloads of money.
A lot of losses.
On a yearly basis.
You guys all investors in the sort of company?
Yes. Yeah.
That's
so
sweet.
It's great to write that stuff off. I get like, $400,000 a year for my tax return because of all my losses.
So is there ever a chance of making money?
Yeah, sure, I guess. I don't know. Our music? I don't know. I don't know if we're that accessible.
Yeah, I mean, think
more
about...
Cafe Noir... thing for old
I mean people. how much does Jeff Tweedy make?
He makes a living. The singer.
But I mean, does he make
he makes really good money.
Does he make like $500,000 a year or something?
Probably maybe $300,000, $400,000.
He's the lead singer of Wilco. He's kind of like the upper echelon of what sorta could ever hope to achieve.
But see, he keeps all of his own publishing. Like all of his all the publishing rights to his music, he doesn't share with his band. He pays those guys a straight salary.
And, oh really?
And everything.
So he's one of those.
Yeah. Man. All of the music that gets
like
used
Mike
in,
and Greg.
In movies and commercials and all that stuff, he gets.
He's Wilco proper.
Yes.
Yeah, he's Wilco proper.
Yes.
So
what's going on in golf?
Yeah.
We're talking about that golf. For 2 hours.
Things
can we
good?
Talk about anything else?
Hey, I was going to share with you guys a story of something that happened to me last night, just last night. Have you guys ever been the victim of road rage?
Yes.
I mean,
nothing physical happened.
Right.
There was a lot of.
But just like a highway
screaming.
Altercation.
So did you have one last night?
I had one last night.
All right, let's hear
details. Were you the instigator or the victim?
I was the victim of the rage, but I was the instigator of the incident. I will admit guilt.
Okay.
Because I was on 635 and I was gonna.
What time?
Like 8 o'clock. Okay. And, you know, it was past rush hour.
What were you doing on 635 is my first question.
I actually had a soccer game way up in Frisco last night. So
what were you doing soccer?
You play soccer or do you like just watch it?
No, I was playing in like
a kid play.
No, I was playing in like a co-ed rec league.
Got it.
Scored a goal, by the way.
That must be competitive co-ed soccer.
Yeah, it was very low level soccer.
Yeah. So
but we played at Pizza Hut Park in those fields up there, and those are awesome.
So in adult
like not
leagues,
on huh?
In adult leagues, do they have tricycle kicks?
There were no tricycle kicks or any acrobatic kicks whatsoever. So I'm going turning to go north on the tollway, And I was kind of a little ticked off because this old dude and this old lady in a Volvo, they weren't even going north on the tollway, as it turned out. They ended up getting over to keep going on 635, but they kind of pulled up next to me and blocked my entry to the, you know, the exit lane for the tollway. And so I kind of sped up around them and then darted in front of this guy to get onto the ramp.
Then hit the brakes?
Well, I had to because there was a car in front of me. And so, you know, he's ticked off. He's probably like a late 50s, early 60s guy.
In his wife?
No, he was by himself, and he was in one of those ugly new Chevy Impalas.
Okay.
So I look in my rearview mirror, and I'm kind of squinting to see what he's doing, and he's just holding the bird. Like he's driving with his left hand, and his right hand is just frozen in the bird position, like in the middle of the windshield, like he's holding it out over the dash so I can not miss it.
Sure.
And he holds it there for a good minute.
And you look for the whole minute?
Yeah, well, I look, and I kind of look away, and I look.
You're kind of waiting. How long is it going to take him for him to pull his hand down, right?
Right, and I look, and
maybe he had rheumatism, and his hand just fixed like palsy.
He's like Bob Dole.
Right.
So I look back again, and he's still doing it. I look away. I'm focusing on my driving. I look back. He's still doing it. So I'm like, okay, I got to acknowledge. So I kind of give the I'm sorry wave in the rearview mirror.
Right.
And I look back, and he's still doing it. And then I give an emphatic wave, and he's still doing it. And then by this time, we're off the ramp, and we're on the tollway north. Uh-huh. And he whips around me. So I'm still on the, you know, in the far right-hand lane, which is like an exit lane, exit-only lane. Mm-hmm. And he gets next to me, and he's blocking me from getting onto the tollway.
You're kidding.
He slows down, and he pulls up right next to me, and then he, you know, turns the bird from his windshield to the passenger side window and just is staring me down, you know, and just flipping me off. And so I give him, like, a real goofy wave, like, right. Hi, yeah, I see you. And that forces him to, like, really emphatically give me the finger. And so finally, he speeds up and lets me get over, and I get behind him, and then he taps the brake.
Mm. Are you kidding me?
Now, why do you
no.
have to get behind him? Why don't you move this? Well, these two
lanes? Probably just get into that lane.
I'm just trying to avoid an accident and get on the tollway and try and get where I'm supposed to go.
Up until that point, he really hasn't done anything heinous.
No, but then he taps the brake.
Or are you just kind of like, whatever?
I'm just like, dude, I just want to get out of this without wrecking my car.
Right.
I know I was at fault, and I'm really sorry. Just go away, old man. And so he taps the brake.
You had a dollar for every time you've heard that, Rick.
Yeah.
He taps the brake.
You're like Wilco.
So he taps the brake, and, you know, I kind of lock him up a little bit because I'm like, what is this guy doing? And so then I have people behind me freaking out, and they're whipping around me. And then so then he starts speeding up, and then the bird shoots out of the sunroof. And he holds the bird out of the sunroof for a good 30 seconds. So finally, you know, we kind of end up in separate lanes, and then he ends up in the far left lane and the toll tag lane, but there's a car in between us as a buffer, and we're driving along, and it's fine, and I'm thinking, okay, it's over. And then he ends up exiting, you know, just before the bush or somewhere, you know, a few exits up. And as he exits, I see the bird lift up out of the sunroof for one last FU.
Right. Ending credits of the bird.
Yes. I was just like, God, what kind of life does this dude have that he is just so enraged by me that he has to give me the bird six times?
Although I got to tell you, though, if somebody flips me the bird, I just...
It doesn't affect me.
It doesn't do anything to me.
Because Davey's right. You've got to think in the terms of what is going on in this guy's life.
Right.
I mean, if he's that miserable that he gets satisfaction from flipping the bird in about six different ways, yeah. I mean,
although
how sad is he?
You already gave the sheepish acknowledgement. I messed up.
I admitted guilt.
Well, he was trying to engage you is what he was doing.
Yeah.
If you're just being very passive and admitting guilt and being, you know, I'm sorry, my fault. He wanted you to get mad and get into a confrontation.
Right. And so, okay, my question for this old man is, what if I'm not who I am? What if I'm not the sheepish acknowledgement guy and the guy's like, you know, I just want to avoid an accident. And what if when he pulls up next to me, I reach into my glove compartment and I've got a gun? Or what if I, you know, whip in front of him and slam on my brakes and pull over to the shoulder and like, come on, let's go, old man. You know, I mean, he's just asking for trouble.
Yeah.
I think we should take some calls.
That would be a fun story.
Yeah, maybe that's what really happened, and you should check
Although
the ditch
should be,
at Beltline.
He should be held for overbirding. I mean, that got to be, after a while, who
six
cares
birds.
After
but
a while?
You got
six birds
you
in one incident?
You do have to give him points for variety of bird.
Yeah, we had the windshield bird, the passenger window bird, and then the sunroof bird. And I don't know if his sunroof was open or if he opened his sunroof for the bird.
That's
which would be extra points.
That is commitment to the bird.
I think he got his point across.
I'll tell you what, it's times like that when you wish you were black. Because if you were a big brother in the car, you would have never seen the bird.
He could have dunked him?
Yeah, he would have been flipping the bird, and then he would have pulled up next to me and saw the color of my skin and just floored it.
Right. It'd be so great to be black.
So, you know the worst part of that is? You didn't do anything wrong. I mean, you might have cut him off a little bit.
I didn't cut him off dramatically, but no, I did cut in front of him.
You did cut in front of him. You waved, acknowledged, I'm sorry, you know, it happens. But it made you probably feel bad up until this point, didn't you? Didn't it?
I feel like I'm in therapy, and I've kind of vented.
Yeah, that's what sucks about
just be
like
thankful.
That.
That's what's beautiful about the tee box.
Yeah, I was trying so hard just to not let it ruin my night. You know, just trying to just shrug it off and
just
not let it stay with me.
One thing is that you weren't on a first date. Because that's where it gets dicey.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody in the car with you?
No, when a gal's next to you.
Where it's just totally tense and she's seeing how you're going to react.
Yeah.
And you don't know if she wants you to bow up or if she wants you to be the diplomatic one.
Yeah. So, thank your lucky stars.
Yeah. I was solo in the vehicle. Thank goodness.
Or if Danny was in with you. Gosh. Who knows what would have happened then?
Yeah, I would have had my head in his lap.
Protect me. More of that next.
Yeah. All right, yeah, coming up, the debut of the Davey and Danny Show for real. No more auditions. This is for real.
You're permanent?
Yeah, we're it.
Really?
This is for real.
Good.
Yeah.
What are we taking names or?
Well, we have a working title.
Sort of radio?
No, we're considering going with the orphanage.
Catchy.
You like that?
Catchy.
Seeing as how we're both adopted and unwanted.
And unworthy of being loved.
Have either of you tried to find your old real parents?
My old parents?
Old real parents. Well, they're probably up there at this point.
5'10". Listen at 5'10 today.
Excellent.
What?
5'10"?
5'10. What's going on? What's happening at 5'10"?
I don't know. We're going to
real parent talk.
Come back up here.
All right, so the orphanage is next.
Did you hear how you were born? Two boxcars crashed together and you popped out of the hobo's butt.
On Sports Radio 1310, the ticket. This is the orphanage, I guess. I don't know. Is it?
It's got a ring to it, Davey.
We'll go with it for now until we think of something better. But I'm Davey Lane, and with me is Danny Bayless. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, Davey. How are you?
Gen X Davey.
Wonderful,
Danny?
Beautiful Saturday morning.
It is. And this is our time slot. Let's
celebrate.
Just stretch out and take it all in.
Loosen your belt.
Yeah. We own this 10 to noon time slot. Sorry, Ben and Skin. Face.
Suck it.
I think Ben and Skin, if things go according to plan, I think Ben and Skin will be in here at noon.
They get to sleep in.
Yeah. So I think you'll be able to warm up for Mavs Game 6 with Ben and Skin from noon to 2. Don't take my word for that, but I think that's what's going to happen. You know the one complaint I heard about our presentation that we did like a month ago?
That it wasn't funny?
No. Not that it wasn't funny, but that even for seasoned ticket listeners, they had a hard time distinguishing our voices, that we sound too much alike.
I get that all the time.
And I guess because I hear my own voice in my own head, I don't hear that.
I've heard that numerous times, especially when you used to do tickers on the Hardline before Mike screwed you over and fired you.
Right.
Which I'm still pissed about. But I used to get emails and calls saying, when you guys are on the air at the same time, I can't distinguish who is who.
So maybe we should, to remedy that, maybe you should adopt a little bit more of your natural country accent, and maybe I should be a little bit more effeminate.
Either that, or we could bring a helium tank, and I could just do hits of helium all day.
Maybe, yeah. I think that would get annoying, and you would probably do damage to your brain.
I don't know, Davey. I really don't have a country accent. I used to. And sometimes when I go home, out to West Texas to visit my mom.
It comes back after
you spend there. It's unbelievable. After you stop at the gas station and somebody's like, hey, man, how you doing? Oh, pretty good. How you doing? Just immediately comes back. And it takes me about a day to lose it.
Hello, I'm Davey.
My sister's like that. I think for some people, it's a natural thing. They just slip in and out depending on their context. But I think other people, they like Madonna when she lived in England for a year and then all of a sudden she had a Cockney accent.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes it's an affectation or you know, they're just trying to speak like the people that they're around. Because my sister, you know, when she would go back and visit New York,
right,
she would come back, you know, with like a New York accent.
Yeah, but did she grow up with a New York accent? Or
no,
is this just something you take on?
No, she never had. She just took it on.
I can understand if you grew up in a certain area and moved away and you kind of lost that accent. If you go back home and pick it up a little bit, that's understandable. But if you've never been somewhere and say I spent a year in London and I come back talking like Liam Gallagher.
You need subtitles all the time?
Right. Then that's, to me, that's kind of false.
Yeah.
You shouldn't do that.
It is false. Well, let's get into the story of the day before we get too far behind. This could be, I guess, a very historic night in the city of Dallas because the Mavericks have Game 6 against the Suns out in Phoenix, and should they win tonight, they will advance to the NBA Finals to face the Miami Heat, going to the Finals for the first time in franchise history.
This story, I don't know, I'm a bigger Mavs fan than I am a Cowboy fan. And other than the Rangers, the Mavericks are the sports team in Dallas that I want to see win a championship more than any team. So, this is huge.
See, they're probably number three for me behind the Cowboys and the Stars.
The Cowboys are number three for me.
But this would be huge. I cannot imagine the electricity in this city if we were in the finals against Wade and Shaq. I mean, it seems like the energy during the Sun series hasn't been quite the fever pitch that it was for the Spurs.
Right.
But I think you take the Spurs series and you just multiply it by 10. I mean, everybody's going to be wearing their Mavs gear. Everybody's going to be talking about it.
You're talking about if we make the finals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We've got two games to close out the Suns. But you got to think, coming off that Game 5 performance and Dirk's just all world putting the team on his shoulders performance, that I don't know what it's going to take for the Suns to pull it out and force a game set.
You mean in two games? Do you think they're going to win tonight? Because everybody thinks the Suns win tonight. I personally think the Mavericks take care of business.
I hope they do, because I don't know if I can take a game 7, but I don't know. The Suns at home, you know, with that crowd and getting the calls, Dirk is probably not going to get to the line as much in Phoenix as he did the other night.
Mm-hmm.
You got to think that the Suns are going to defend their home floor and force a game 7, but I don't know. Maybe Dirk can duplicate what he did the other night.
I just hope somehow that Avery has a plan, that they come out in this game and do what they did against, I guess it was the Spurs in game 7, where they just stockpiled points. Where they just come out and they get up to, you know, a 15-point lead somehow in the second quarter to where the Suns spend 2.5 quarters just clawing their way back and chipping away at it. So by the time they're at the end of the game,
they're just gassed.
They're done because they have no bench whatsoever. And you were mentioning that this series hasn't had the energy possibly as the Spurs series. But, man, I disagree. I think the on-court energy of these two teams has been unbelievable, and it may not be as sexy of a matchup as Spurs Mavs or as big of a rivalry, but other than, I mean, even in the two blowouts, I mean, the energy on the court, it's just back and forth, and every time the Mavs go up and hit an important three to go up by 5 and appear to be pulling away, you know, here comes Nash with a, you know, an outlet or an outlet pass or hitting a quick three just to keep him in it the whole time.
Right. And well, and I will give you this, that now that we're, you know, five games into the Sun series, I definitely have hatred for Diaw. I definitely have hatred for Tim Thomas. That guy's an idiot.
Man,
I still can't bring myself to hate Nash, but there are times, like, you know, when he's on the bench, when he's, you know, in his warm-ups and he's got that...
When he's in his sleeping bag?
Yeah, when he's in his sleeping bag and they come over for timeout and he's, you know, got that S-eating grin on his face and, you know, giving everybody high fives and...
It just doesn't look right.
I just want to punch him, but I still like him. I still can't bring myself to hate Nash.
It's easy to hate Tim Thomas, and I so badly wanted Dirk to do something. I mean, first of all, after he blows him the little kiss, what a great way to finish that off.
Yeah,
just by actions.
Outscore
rather
him like 19-0 from that point on.
Yeah, hanging 50 on him. I just so badly wanted Dirk to walk over to him and just, you know, show the 5-0 sign and just blow him a nice, sweet kiss just to send him into the locker
room. But Dirk's bigger than that. Dirk's got class, and Tim Thomas doesn't.
Dirk's the man.
Did you hear the quote from Tim Thomas? Like
after the game?
Yeah.
No.
Do you have that in there? The quote from Tim Thomas where he's just talking about how, you know, it's just a man thing. I think it's when he was with Rick Renner. I heard it on Bad Radio the other day.
And the thing is with Tim Thomas, whatever. So what did he make, 6 threes? They're not running any of that crap through him. That's all improvised. That's just
Up off the break.
Yeah, him getting open. You know, off of a penetration and an outlet pass or whatever, but they're not running their offense through him.
No.
They don't expect anything from that knucklehead.
But I don't know if we found the cut, but it's him talking about how, you know, it's just two men going at it, and he, you know, he almost, like, challenged Dirk to get physical, you know, to, you know, throw a punch. He was like, you know, I'm ready if he wants to go.
Well, Dirk got physical, and he got physical by taking it to the basket and not settling for fadeaways as he did in
I guess we don't have it.
In game four. Yeah. I wanted to ask you this. Were you watching the game tonight, or are you going to go out and watch the game?
I still haven't decided, and we probably need to talk about this next. We're going to take your calls, too, on Mavs Suns at 214-787-1310. But I can't bring myself to watch a game in a bar anymore. And maybe it's just because I need to focus on the game, and being in a bar is not a good environment to do so. Or maybe it's just the people that are in the bar. I don't know. We'll talk about it next.
All right, guys. Chilling with Tim Thomas. Seems like there was a point, even though Dirk put up 50 on you guys, that you were talking a lot with him. You were blowing him kisses. What was all that about?
You know, some man-to-man stuff. I mean, Dirk is a hell of a basketball player, but... When you trying to step into another zone, which is, you know, man-to-man situation, I really don't think you want to go take that step. So, I mean, it's just one of those things, man. Like, you out there, you competing, you know, you going hard, and, you know, he's going to say his words, I'm going to say my words, and that's pretty much it.
Straight out thugging?
Whatever you want to call it. I'm a man first.
I thought he said something else there. That's how I like it. Straight up, Navy. 10:33, Sports Radio 13 Ticket.
What?
You're listening to Dave Lane. My name's Danny. I believe this is the Orphanage. Heard Saturday mornings a few times out of the month from 10 to noon on the ticket. Talking a little Mavericks this morning.
Yes, big night for the Mavericks tonight.
I'm so excited. I will be watching at home. We'll get into that in a minute. One point that I wanted to make before we go to the phones to discuss Mavericks with you, good strong listener, is the Banga suspension. I know this probably means nothing because the guy's been in a suit for the entire series.
And he looks silly in a suit, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think he needs to wear his basketball uniform pretty much all the time. But with the Heat winning and going to the NBA Finals, if Dallas is to pull this thing out,
they need his fouls against Shaq.
That's 6 fouls. And I think that's very important.
What was his suspension?
6 games. So he's already served 1.
This will be 2.
Say they wrap it up tonight. That's 2. I mean, he might not even see 6 fouls.
The
Mavericks get swept by the Heat.
Sorry, I said us.
Don't you think that's somewhat significant?
Yeah, I mean, they do have Van Horn's fouls, even though he's generally a waste of space.
Right.
But they do slide him in at center, and he's six fouls.
I don't like wasting fouls on Van Horn because he is a scoring threat.
Yeah, is
I like
he?
To keep one.
Is he?
He can be. He, you know, he's streaky like anybody else. I mean, like a lot of the Mavs.
He's just been awful in this series.
In this series, yeah. I mean, yeah, I think the only shining moment that he had was when he hit, what was it, like three or four threes against the Spurs.
When he hit that three to make it a 20-point game with 2 seconds left the other night.
Not that one. But he is a scoring, maybe not a threat, but the potential's there. I don't know. I don't know if it's that big of a deal, but it could be something useful to the Mavs that they're not going to have. I mean, it's a body that you can, it is a wastable body that you can put on Shaq and pick up six fouls in 3 minutes, and that's just an option they're not going to have. Now, granted, Avery may not want to go that way. That may be an old, you know, the hack of Shaq may be gone with Nelly. But
yeah, maybe, I don't know. Did they play that way when they played the Heat earlier this year? I don't remember.
I don't really remember
going with hack of Shaq.
Much of anything, Davey, that happened.
That's when you were drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Well, it's just a sports point that I wanted to not only share with you,
but the P1s as well.
And Pete Tenney.
The P1. All right, let's go to the phones. We've got some hot Mavs opinions.
All right, Dave, let's talk to Ron in Fort Worth. Hello, Ron.
Good morning, Double B's. How are you?
What's up?
So, since you guys are so smart about sports, what would happen?
Not really.
What do you think would happen if Amari Stoudemire had been in this series? I really haven't heard any talk about that on the radio or on TV.
Yeah, I mean, that would totally change the series. I mean, not that the Suns would run any less with Stoudemire because he is so athletic, but do you think maybe Dampier would have been a factor in the series if Stoudemire was playing?
I think Dampier might have played a hell of a lot more because then you actually have a matchup.
Yeah.
You have a place for Dampier to play.
Not that Dampier can keep up with Stoudemire, but...
No, but the thing is if you have Dampier as an offensive threat, as a post-up threat, then you keep Amari down on the blocks.
Right.
And I was watching the game the other night, and there's so many times, man, where the Suns, they just spread that thing out so much. I mean, they're playing like five corners offense outside of the three line. Amari's not going to play out there, most likely.
Right.
So you can go deeper. You can use Dampier and kind of spread out your minutes a little bit.
I mean, but... You just can't do that hypothetical coulda, woulda, shoulda
stuff.
You
can do that with, hey, what if Dirk had been healthy 3 years ago in the Western Conference Finals?
Right.
I mean, you are what you are, and you've got to play with what you got to play with. Let's go to Justin in Bedford. Justin, you're on the ticket.
How are y'all doing this morning?
Mm-hmm. Well.
Y'all were talking about Tim Thomas and all the stupid stuff he was doing and the waving the hand in front of the face.
Yeah, cooling off his fingers because he's so hot.
Yeah, I don't know if y'all saw it. I was watching at my brother's house, and he has the TiVo, so we went back and watched it again to make sure. And I do believe it was after Dirk hung up 30, and he was walking back. I saw Daryl Armstrong over his shoulder going nuts, waving his hand in front of his face, blowing off his hand. And I was cracking up because Daryl Armstrong was just going like he was halfway onto the court because they took a timeout right after Dirk hit that, got up to 50 points. And you saw Daryl Armstrong back there just waving his hand and blowing it, and it was hilarious, and you knew it was aimed right at Tim Thomas.
You know, Armstrong, he plays some quality minutes here and there, but he is just as valuable as an energy guy on the bench as he is when he's on the floor, don't you think?
Yeah, he's from what I understand, he's the team leader, and the guy barely even makes it onto the court. I mean, apparently he is. That's what all the players say. They look to him for leadership. He's a big cheerleader. He's the first one off the bench to congratulate guys.
He's chest bumping.
Yeah.
But he's the guy that makes sure everybody's head stays in the game and that everybody stays positive. And that you just have to have that.
And the thing about Tim Thomas, you know, being a Mavericks fan, I don't like seeing that. I don't like seeing him blowing Dirk kisses and blowing on his fingers because he's so hot.
He looks kind of Cro-Magnon, the shape of his skull.
Yeah, he's very, very creepy. I can't think of the player that had that same kind of look. Was it the X-Man? Was it Xavier? The guy that played for Seattle for so long.
Oh.
Very Cro-Magnon looking.
God, I can't remember
Xavier
his name.
McDaniel.
Yeah, Xavier McDaniel, that's it. He reminds me of him. But at this level and at this point in the season, it being in the playoffs, all they're trying to do is get in each other's heads. It's all about, you know, if you can't stop Dirk from scoring 30, 40, or 50, then maybe you got to, you know, pump up your cow chest and try to get in his head in another way by being intimidated.
I guess. But it just seemed like it kind of backfired on him.
Let's squeeze in Joseph and Koppel. Hey, Joseph.
What's going down, Orphan Radio?
Not much. We're trying to talk some Mavs.
Hey, I'm honored to be on the inaugural broadcast.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, why is it a lot of athletes who get schooled on the court or wherever, and this happens not just NBA, but, you know, in pickup games or whatnot, they got to come back and be and use something else about their personality and their livelihood to compensate for them getting schooled? Because, I mean, he's saying, I'm a man first. You know what that means? He's saying he can kick Dirk's ass, and since he couldn't do it on the court, he's got to say it in an interview. So I'm a man first. All that means is he thinks he can box with Dirk because he got schooled. And you know what? If he thinks he's that much of a fighter, well, then go box because he sure hasn't earned his money on the court.
Yeah, that's true. It is like, you know, like he said, you know, yeah, well, sure, Dirk got the better of me on the court, but if it came to blows, I would kick Dirk's ass.
You know what? I love that argument. And you run into that so many times. Say you're at a bar hanging out and you get, not necessarily confrontational, but you get in an argument and a meeting of the wits, and there's always that one guy that you're totally kicking his ass in an argument or a debate, and it always goes default to, well, you want to take it outside?
Yeah, I got nothing left on this avenue, right, so right. I'm going to take it the way.
I can't stop you from scoring 50, but damn it, I can kick your ass. I love that argument. People like that just...
And those are the kind of people that you do find at bars, bringing us back to the point that we were talking about just before the break. Because we were discussing, where are we going to watch Game 6, this possibly historic Mavs game? And I've kind of gone back and forth between watching it at my house or watching it at a friend's house or going and watching it at a bar. And I guess maybe earlier on in the playoff run, watching it at a bar could be enjoyable because it wasn't super crowded and you didn't have the sudden experts sitting right behind you yelling at every play.
Or a table full of girls talking during every play.
Yeah. But now that we're, you know, getting down to the point where everyone's starting to get interested in the Mavericks, it's just intolerable to go watch a game at a bar.
Well, even like the other night, our good buddy Matt, I was planning on going and watching Game 5 out at the Barley House. Great place to watch a game. They got
nice big TV.
Yeah, great flat screen plasma, high def TV. And he's like, I'm going to go stake this place out like an hour before and get a good seat and get some dinner. And I called him at 7 o'clock. He's like, there's no seats left. It's already packed in here. And I'll be damned if I'm going to go somewhere and stand for 3 hours when I can sit at home.
Have my TiVo.
Have the DVR where you can stop, go to the bathroom, make something to eat, whatever, fly through commercials. I don't know if it's just that I'm getting old, which is that is a fact, but at the same time, man, okay, it's fun to go to a bar and hang out with your buddies and cheer and have a bunch of people there. It's kind of like you're at the game. But man, the comfort of just sitting at home and not enduring the crowd, not having to stand up to watch the game, that's outweighing my desire to go have Mavericks camaraderie.
Well, to me, an equal part of the equation, not just physical comfort, is just the ass whip of the people. I had two separate experiences, one at the Barley House and one at the Old Monk, where I was kind of having my personal space violated by people kind of behind me and to the side of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sitting there and they're just, you know, it's so crowded in, they're creeping closer and closer. And so everything they say is right in my ear. And, you know, you have the one guy that every time, you know, the Mavs are on defense, you know, and the Suns are bringing the ball down the court, he's like, crowd the middle, crowd the middle.
It's like you have a bar full of humble billies cheering on the
but
team.
But it's total nonsensical basketball speak. It, you know, and then... you know, Tim Thomas takes a shot and he's like, air ball, and then it's swish.
Right.
You know, it's like, just shut up and watch the game.
I want to know where these people were during the regular season, because more often than not, we would all go watch, you know, just your random Mavs Bucks game at the bar. I mean, I've pretty much been a part of either television or radio listening to every regular season game this year. I mean, I love the Mavericks. I'm a huge Mavs fan. And like you said, the first round, going out watching it at a bar, not too bad. But, man, the further they get, Oh, the more crowded
there's
it gets.
There's just more knuckleheads.
The douchebag factor is unbelievable.
Can you say that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we brought it back.
All right. So, yes, there are way too many douchebags at bars watching basketball. And they, you know, I'm no expert. I know probably the bare minimum, you know, to get by as a basketball fan.
Mm-hmm.
I can't talk strategy with you. I barely know any players in the league besides who's on the Mavericks.
Hey, it was all I could do to make it through one segment of basketball.
Yeah, so I'm not couching myself as some kind of sports genius. I'm no Sturm. But I can't take the dude who has watched one quarter of basketball all season, and yet he has to commentate on every play and tell all the people at his table what's going on. That's just not necessary. Just sit back and enjoy it.
I just wish we could find a place that nobody knew about. Like we did, what was it, 6, 7 years ago when the Stars were making their run?
Yeah, well, when the Stars won the Cup in 99, we kind of shuffled between the old London Tavern, which is now turning into Cafe Brazil.
It already is.
It is Cafe Brazil.
It's fully operational.
After a couple of failed bars. That was such a jinxed location for forever. But yeah, we shuttled between the London Tavern and Corner Tap, which has also failed.
But those were great places, too.
But yeah,
man,
we had the places to ourselves because no one else knew about them.
Maybe that's why they were failed, because we were the only ones that went there.
Yeah.
We only went during Stars playoff runs. But yeah, everything's crowded. I don't know where to go. So I'm just,
you can come over.
I'm defeated. I just end up watching it at home, sit under my air conditioner and my blanket, and just scream at the TV by myself.
I've got a room next to me on the couch.
Gonna put my head in your lap again.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's do that.
You're gonna have to shower so I can run my fingers through your hair. There's too much product.
I'll do that just for you, Davey. Listen, coming up next, I want to get into this. In Louisville, there's been accusations of a 25-year-old teacher participating in sex with an 18-year-old male student.
Oh yeah.
I don't have a problem with it. We'll find out what Dave thinks next.
So your mama doesn't like Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. Well, your mama's so fat, her belly button doesn't have lint. It has sweaters.
.10:53, Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. This is The Orphanage. I'm Dave Lane, and with me is Danny Bayless. We just got off some hot, hot Mavs talk.
Ben and Skin can't do that.
No, no.
They can't do what we do.
We can do what they do, but they can't do what we do.
Right.
That's why we have 10 to noon.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't.
That's right. They get to sleep in, though.
Yeah. So you talked about the teacher. This is a phenomenon that comes up pretty much on an annual basis. Somewhere in the country, a teacher, not necessarily always hot, but a teacher will bed down with a student.
And it's usually the other way around when these people are getting in trouble. In years past, it was always the creepy dude teacher
molesting,
fiddling around with some 15, 16, 17-year-old girl carrying on a relationship. But man, this is amazing. And this has only happened in the last, since the new millennium, Dave, since the aughts.
Yeah, Mary Kay Letourneau kind of set the precedent. But she was
like the Rosa Parks of improper relationships with male students, the Jackie Robinson, if you will.
Yeah, and she nailed her little 13-year-old Tongan student.
Had a couple of kids with him, right?
Yeah, and now they're married.
Uh-huh. She, after spending time in jail.
Yeah, he waited for her while she was in jail, and I think they maybe even had some conjugal visits. I don't know.
I thought my life had gone horribly wrong.
I thought she... Didn't she have one of the kids while she was in prison?
I believe she did. And then we had the hot girl from Florida.
So hot. People think I overrate her, but I thought she was awesome.
Nothing wrong with her.
Well, she was very Aryan looking.
Yeah, yeah, very blonde, tall.
Steely blue eyes.
Yes, yes.
And just milky, milky white skin.
Now, how old was her fun
I think he was like
boy.
16.
Mm-hmm.
And that was weird. They were having sex in her car. Debbie LaFave. They were having sex in her car, and she was married. This was like not only improper contact with a student,
this
was a full-on affair. But this latest incident is very close to home because we have a former Miss Texas contestant.
Yes, she was crowned Miss Bear County.
Bear County.
What? Bear?
Yeah.
Bayar.
No, it's Bear.
Bear?
Yeah.
I always thought it was Bayar.
I think it's Bear.
Okay, Bexar.
Bexar County.
She was crowned Miss Bexar County in the Miss Texas pageant in 2002.
She went to UT,
mm-hmm.
and she, I guess for the last year or two, has taught in the Louisville Independent School District at Carrollton High School.
No, Hebron High School.
Yes. Sorry.
She's a Spanish teacher and cross-country coach, so she's in shape.
Yes.
She has athletic legs, Davey.
Slender athletic legs.
Probably very flexible.
Quite juggy, too.
Yeah?
Do you know that she won the swimsuit competition in the Miss Texas pageant?
No way.
Yes.
Yes. And now if you see the picture that's floating around on her her biography, she's kind of wearing this low-cut top.
Showing, yeah, if you go to...
Showing the goods.
If you go to GordonKeith.com, he's got links to her bio page and a link to the story and also a link to her MySpace page, which I understand you've tried to add her as a friend, Danny.
Yes, and she's got it set to private.
Yeah, ironically, she's listed as a 14-year-old.
Right. Well, that's what you... If you want your MySpace page to be private, you just list your ages 14 or under, and you have to approve everybody before they can even view your page.
Yeah, so all you see is her name and her picture.
Right, right. You don't get to see her friends, any of her likes, dislikes, favorite bands, favorite movies. You don't get any of that fun stuff. But I'm hoping she adds me. I really want to be her MySpace friend. And
I'm sure she has had about a billion P1s try and add her as a friend.
Well, if she hasn't up to this point, she will now.
Yeah.
Or at least the 32 people that are listening. Let's get a couple of the facts out of the way regarding this this torrid affair. The student told investigators that he and Miss McElhaney, her name is Amy McElhaney, had sex on numerous occasions in her apartment. Who's on G2? Or did I just punch that up? Huh?
Colin.
Oh,
ignore.
Okay. Anyway, let's see. The police went to her house and went through her cell phone. They asked her for her cell phone, and she gave it to them. And they found very suggestive text messages between her and the student.
Yeah, you should set your phone to not save outgoing messages.
Don't save sent messages.
That can only get you in trouble.
It can ruin a relationship, Dave. She resigned from her position at the high school and denies having a physical relationship with the student.
Now, the student, in spite of the text messages.
Right. Now, the student is unnamed, but he is 18 years old.
That's consenting age.
That's a year.
Texas.
Yeah. He's been able to have hot sex for at least a year.
But.
Because the age of consent is 17 in Texas.
But there is a law banning Grexual relationships between educators and students, even if the child is of consensual age. And she's
25.
This is a second degree felony. She could get up to 20 years in the big house for this little affair. Now, she is pretty deadly hot, obviously. I mean, a former Miss Texas contestant, nothing to sneeze at. I wonder what this dude is like. I mean, is he like...
I doubt he looks like Screech.
I mean, he's probably like captain of the football team or
maybe a wrestler.
Yeah, or maybe shortstop on the baseball team. Or
a hot swimmer with a lean swimmer's body.
Yeah.
Completely shaved.
Hairless.
Yes.
I mean, I don't get it. I mean, guys in high school are such idiots. How can a 25-year-old, unless he is just the hottest piece of ass on the planet...
He might have one like this, too.
Why are you holding your hands like two feet apart?
Just saying. Girls like that.
No, they don't. That's overrated. At least that's what I've heard.
Maybe that's just what they're telling you. No, I agree. I mean, first of all, I don't think guys are worth a damn until they pretty much turn 40 anyway. But an 18-year-old guy, they're the worst. They're the absolute worst human beings on the face of the planet, the 18-year-old guy.
And maybe the 16-year-old girl is worse than the 18-year-old guy.
Possibly. But what the hell is a hot 25-year-old doing with this guy?
Surely she had her pick of any dude her age.
Absolutely.
She just needs to go to Carson's or or Dick's Last Resort, or no, Duke's.
Yeah,
up in Addison.
She can go there. She could. I mean, this girl's good looking enough. She could go hang out at the Scents or Douchebags or the Candle Box or wherever, and probably drag anything out of there she wants. And those guys have money and jobs.
Medushi.
Yeah, Medushi. But the thing is, the problem that I have is this 20 years in prison. Okay, granted, I understand.
So you don't have a problem with this?
I don't have a problem with this, and in so much that I think that this law was passed way back in the day when the norm was for the creepy 38-year-old, you know, history teacher diddling up on some 16-year-old girl.
You think the law should be changed to where if the child is of consenting age, that it's free reign?
I don't think it's free reign.
Do you not think that that would just put chaos into the schools?
First of all, Davey, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that there needs to be a double standard for sexes in this.
Okay, I would agree with that.
I think if it's a girl on guy,
or girl on girl,
or girl on girl, then I think you need to offer a little bit of leniency. I think that maybe it should be like a misdemeanor, like maybe like an MIP. They write you a ticket. And you should probably lose your job or get suspended or something. There's got to be some kind of ramification for this behavior. You don't need, open season on scoring with students. But come on, let's put this in context and take it into consideration. And this is an 18-year-old man.
But
this guy can go and to Iraq and fight for his country and vote.
Why fight can't for his what?
For his country. Why can't he boink the hot teacher? I mean, Van Halen has been teaching us this for 25 years, that it's okay.
It's okay to lust after your teacher, but not close the deal until after you graduate. I mean, think about it in the context of college. When a professor hooks up with a student, is that not a fireable offense at many universities?
Yeah, but that's all kind of determined by the university.
Yeah, it's not against the law, right. But it's still frowned upon.
There's a lot of things that are frowned upon that are legal. But, man, don't put this girl away for 20 years.
Yeah, she's going to be so tore up at 45. No one will love her.
And just think of all the chances that future 18-year-old students aren't going to have if she's locked up in jail. Because she'll do this again.
Now, I mean, I understand where you're coming from, because, say, you know, she went to some 18 and up club, you know, like the Lizard Lounge or something, and she's there with her friends, and this 18-year-old dude is there with his friends and
with the rest of his swim team.
Yeah,
with their tank tops
and their ripped triceps. And
there's nothing wrong with that for her to drag him out of there.
Yeah, if she drags him out of there and, oh my gosh, you teach at my school, well, you know, that I guess that could happen, and that's a whole different story. It's still probably against the law, but I'm sure that he was probably in her class, or maybe
we don't
know
that, man. I mean, I doubt that she was teaching him cross country.
Maybe she was teaching him Spanish.
Okay, maybe
giving him some private lessons.
But let's throw this out there. Let's just say that they just kind of ran into each other. That she wasn't his teacher. That's probably a pretty big-ass school, and just maybe had some face recognition from passing each other in the hallway, and maybe they met at Lizard Lounge one night and started a relationship.
Or maybe
this had very little or nothing to do with the fact that they were at the same school together.
Maybe he was in her class, and she kept him after school for an oral exam.
That's a possibility, Dave.
You want to go to the phones on this?
Yeah, because I'm pretty much out of stuff.
I think we've exhausted the one-page story.
I say leave her alone. I say she should lose her job, but she should not do any time. There should be no legal ramifications. Maybe in probation, pick up trash, you know, clean, I don't know, porno peep show booths, whatever. But
I think a lot of it maybe should depend on the dude. If he testifies and like, dude, you don't understand. This was awesome.
Yeah.
Then, okay, but if he's like, yeah, she kind of took advantage of me and I kind of went along with it, didn't know what I was doing, then right. maybe the consequences should be greater. But if he's high-fiving in the courtroom...
If he's not high-fiving in the courtroom, he's gay.
Yeah, a Miss Texas contestant? That should go on your resume. I banged a Miss Texas contestant.
Mark. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Gil in Granbury. Gil, you're on the ticket.
Hey, Oliver Ninja, what's up?
Hello.
Hello. Hey, I've got one of those on my resume, so I just thought I'd let you know.
Really?
I was going to say, I think this happens a lot more than everybody's hearing about, because a long time ago when I was in school, I mean, we heard about it once or twice. Nobody really ever looked at it, but you'd hear about it. And even at college, when I was there, I'd hear girls, you know, I hung around with some girls that are a little questionable, and I'd hear stories of them. I know for a fact two of the girls I hung around with in college had relationships like that. So I think it happens more. And as far as what the girl's thinking or whatever, I kind of think it's one of those things, a goody-two-shoes girl like that, you know, likes to just have something where all her friends, you know, she's keeping it secret from all her friends, you know, but she's got something on the side
thing.
Which is really wild.
The mystery. I'm more interested in you said you've got one of those on your resume. What's that story all about?
Was that high school?
Well, no. I meant the Texas, Miss Texas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and by the way, I have one of those that's that long, and it is overrated, case-by-case basis.
Doesn't it hang in the water when you're squatting?
Yeah, it does. It does a lot of that stuff. Really, you know, it's just I run slower, you know, just a lot of dumb things like that. It's overrated.
All right.
Throw it over my shoulder when I get out of town.
Okay. Goodbye.
I don't know, man. Go to the phone.
All right. Hey, you're on the ticket. Hi, you're on the ticket.
Hey, Keys.
What up?
You guys got to please steer away from the gay talk. You're making me so uncomfortable. Since when do you refer to the guy, the swimmer, as a hot piece of ass?
I never said that. Maybe I did.
Gosh. It's gross. But you know what? What I don't understand is why the hell... I mean, why would this guy give up this? I mean, all he had to do was just tell the
well, no, it was
like, no, I didn't have any relations with her, and that was the end, right?
But there was an anonymous tip. Some other student, you know, let an officer know that I suspect something's
going
on.
But all he could have said was denied it. All he had to do is emphatically deny and say, no, not at all. This guy's out of his rocker. And then he'd still be banging that.
But they have the text messages. They have some evidence.
They went through
her
phone, and I guess the police put the pressure on the kid, and he ended up confessing to it. Now, she's denying it.
Yeah, but
she's got Look at that.
I would deny that to my grave. No, of course I didn't do that. You know, just like it's
yeah, he is giving up a good thing, and he will probably, when he is, you know, hitting his midlife crisis... He'll look back on that and go, why did I confess?
Right. Exactly.
He'll just think about how many more times he could have had that.
Well, also, the thing is the person that probably squealed on him is somebody that's jealous.
Yes.
And number two, man, if you're 18...
Or a girl.
Exactly. That's jealous of the girl, of the teacher.
Right.
But you know how 18-year... You're an 18-year-old kid, and you're nailing... A Miss Texas contestant that's 7 years older
than
you.
I mean, I guarantee when she
you're
started
talking,
when she started
likely.
At that high school, she was the talk of the high school
right.
among all the dudes. Have you seen the new teacher?
And if this guy's getting to hit it, he's running his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
There's no question.
He's talking.
18, you can't keep that to yourself at 18.
And even if you tell it to your small circle of buddies, it's gonna go through the whole school like wildfire.
Well, let's wrap this up, Dave. Coming up next, you want to get into a little music segment? I brought some tunes up that I'd like to play for you and see if I can turn
them
on.
Yeah, so when we had our little audition show, we did a music snob segment where I rolled some stuff for Danny, and we're going to turn it around, and Danny's going to roll some stuff for me. We'll do that next.
It's a revenge match in the Western Conference Finals. Mavs Suns tonight in the Valley of the Sun. Afterwards, Ben and Skin spout off on the playoff postgame show on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
If we're going to be doing this regularly, we need to get a hold of our return cuts.
Yeah, we need to make a rotator of all our snobby music.
Now, there was a time when... Hey, Rocky Like a Hurricane
was the best song that I had ever heard at one point in my life.
I remember when I first heard that on the radio. That was after Photograph by Def Leppard. That was my favorite song. And I immediately went out and bought Love at First Sting.
Mm-hmm. That had a controversial cover too, because you kind of see like side boob.
Yep, you can. Well, you can see side boob and side ass because of the tattoo of the scorpion being administered on the girl. Anyway, it's 11:20 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. You're listening to The Orphanage with Dave and Danny, and this is a possible weekly or biweekly benchmark.
I don't know that we want to whip everyone with music every week, but we'll just have to see. Maybe the P1 can let us know if this is a beatdown or an interesting segment for them.
Well, I like doing it because I would say that you're a lot bigger music snob than myself. You're a lot nerdier about music, and I think I'm pretty bad, but
we have differing tastes. We have a lot of similar.
Yeah, we have a lot of overlap. But you tend to really, you're a much bigger music fan than I am. You seek out music a lot more than I do.
You know what I'm pretty lazy about is? It.
What's that?
Just in conversations I've had with other musicians, I think when you are a musician, that makes it harder for you to like music. Because you can't just listen to a song, you're dissecting it.
Sometimes, but then I listen to, I evaluate some of the crap that I listen to, and I'm like, what's so great about this? You know, it's simple and melodic, and there's really, I don't know, I don't think I overly dissect music, but I don't seek it out as much as I used to. When I was in high school, man, I would get the magazines and read about every band and go to the record stores and buy albums just based on their covers. But now it's just like, you know, if I hear something or somebody turns me on to something, that's why I like doing the segment, because I think you will bring stuff to the table that I haven't heard and pique my interest a little bit.
Well, in the interest of equal time, we're taking turns. Mm-hmm. So last time out, it was my turn to expose Danny to some stuff.
Yes.
We had Charlatans. We had Gnarls Barkley. And
Raconteurs.
Raconteurs, yes.
The new Jack White project.
So what do you got this time?
Well, let's start off with something that I know you're gonna know this song, and I discovered this song because of you, but I wanted to play it because I think it's awesome. I just added it to the Hardline's Return Cuts. And you want me to tell you who it is?
No, let's just hear it.
All right, let's just roll. This is it's track 5. No, that's not the new unreleased Black Sabbath.
That is so awesome.
That is so good. That is a band called Wolf Mother. I believe they're Australian.
Yeah, they're Australian.
And I first heard them on your MySpace page, because that's the opening song that comes up when you open your page. And I was like, that is kick-ass. It reminds me of old Sabbath.
Yeah, well, when it was on the list of bands that I was going to maybe roll when we did this segment about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have the album at that point. I just kind of heard about them.
Right.
And then after that show, I got an email, you know, that, hey, they're at Gypsy tonight. And
did you go?
No, I couldn't go. I was so mad.
Damn it.
I had another commitment, but I couldn't go. But I immediately downloaded the album, and I couldn't stop listening to it for like 2 weeks straight. It's just so good from front to back.
The whole record's good?
The whole album is really good.
That I've heard. And I can't wait to download it when I get home, but... God, it's they're so funny because it's these three dudes, and one of them's got a big curly afro, and they're a power trio from Australia, and all their album art is so old, early 70s prog rock, like Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, and Asia, and they have dragons, and all their song titles are real stupid and weird.
The Joker and the Thief,
yeah.
And White Unicorn.
White Unicorn. But they're just, I don't know, I guess it's kind of a bit.
Yeah, but they take it seriously. We kind of talked about, you know, them versus, like, the Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the Darkness, they are obviously a kitsch shtick band.
Right.
But I think Wolf Mother, they are just doing, like, an homage to their influences. They're trying to really make this kind of music, and there's
it's not tongue-in-cheek
there's
at
no
all.
Wink to it at all.
Right, right.
And that's what's great about it.
I can't wait to hear the rest of this album, but
I'll burn it for you.
Okay, I played this as a return cut the other day coming back from a break on the Hardline, and I got like 5 phone calls, people wanting to know who it was.
That's Wolf Mother.
That's good stuff. All right, this next cut, Jaron's going to be track 3. This is a band, I don't even know if this is released yet. I got a hold of this album like 2 months ago. I don't know if you've heard this or not. This is a band from Denton called Midlake. We played this on the Hardline a while back, but it's such an amazing album from start to finish. I haven't heard anything come out of this area this good in 15 years.
Are they from Denton?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think a lot of them are music majors from Denton. Great guys. I've met a couple of them. And this album is called The Trials of Van Occupanther.
Huh.
And I believe it's scheduled...
It's a real panther?
Yes, so you know it's good. I think this album is scheduled for a U.S. release date sometime this month. It just came out in the U.K., but this is the one of the singles that they're going to be pushing. It's called Roscoe, and this is my song of the year, hands down. Beautiful.
Yeah, that does not sound the least bit local.
No, it's, and I think they did this record themselves.
That's amazing. I love that guitar sound, and I love the harmonies.
Yeah, it's and it's so different from their last album. Their last record,
I didn't really
like an homage
album.
To the Flaming Lips in a way.
I didn't listen to much of it, but I didn't really dig it
because I'd heard a ton about them, and I listened to it and I was like, oh, there's a couple of good songs on here, but as an album it was really disjointed and it didn't make sense. I saw them live, and, I mean, they're unbelievable. The guys are all over the place and playing all kinds of different instruments and stuff. But when they made this record, it's like they made a point. I read a couple of interviews with them to really get back to, you know, bass, drums, piano, guitars, and vocals and do, like, an early 70s kind of pop record, like a Fleetwood Mac kind of record.
Right.
And that's what that sounds like. And I'm telling you, that song is as good as it is. You put it in context with the rest of the album, it from start to finish, it flows, it's beautiful. I mean, there's hooks out the rear end on pretty much every tune of this record, man. And It's my album of the year already. I mean, it's only June, and I can't imagine a better record coming out. And I'm not talking about locally, nationwide. This thing, I hope to God for these guys that this blows up somehow, because it's the most unique thing that I've heard out of this area maybe ever.
I dig it. I need to hear the rest of it.
I will definitely burn you a copy. It's supposed to be coming out on Bella Union in a couple of weeks. I'll tell you what. I've got one more thing that I want to play for you. And let's do that next. It's a pop band that I just recently discovered that could possibly be my favorite pop band of all time, Dave.
All right, we'll do it next.
The Mavs take on the Suns in the Western Conference Finals tonight in Phoenix. Afterwards, Ben and Skin spout off on the playoff postgame show on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
On Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. You're listening to The Orphanage with Davey and Danny on a Saturday morning.
This is your new 10 to noon show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we all know, the rant died about a month ago, and there was an exhaustive audition process, and we won. We are your new 10 to noon program, so I hope you like it, and if not, then I guess you'll have to find something else to do on Saturdays.
Like sleep.
Yeah.
That's what I would be doing, Davey.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're in the middle of our music snob segment. Did this about a month ago, and I enjoyed it. I like it when you bring new music up and play it for me. And I'm doing that for you this time. Now, we've already listened to the greatness of Wolf Mother.
Yes.
From Australia, the early 70s prog metal, wonderful Black Sabbath-sounding band. We heard Denton's Midlake.
Good stuff.
Yep. That was actually them coming back from break. And a band that I recently discovered in Lawrence, Kansas. They're not from Lawrence, Kansas, but when we took the little sort of band on the road in the beginning of the year.
Hit anything up there?
No. 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 There's really, it's a college town. Girls are, they're ugly.
Oh.
Up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the place that we played at, there was this song that kept playing on the jukebox, and I'd never heard it before. But it really took me back to that early 90s kind of anti-grunge pop movement that I'm sure you remember, that kind of involved bands like the Posies, Teenage Fan Club.
Yeah.
Maybe the Replacements were kind of growing into a pop band and not so punk at the time. That's a lot of the stuff that I was listening to. I mean, Soundgarden and Pearl Jam and Alice in Chains, those bands had me as well. But being from a kind of a pop background, that those bands really sucked me in. And I
loved,
listened to that a lot more than I did grunge.
I loved Teenage Fan Club, and they had several songs that would start out grunge and then go real poppy.
Oh, yeah, big three-part harmonies. It's like they started out as Soundgarden and turned into the Beatles midway through a song. Well, I heard this song that kept playing on the jukebox, and asked one of the guys that worked there who it was, and he said it's this band from Seattle, ironically enough, called Nodasurf. Now, I'd seen Nodasurf's name around
they had the song in the late or mid to late 90s, Popular.
Yeah, it was kind of like a kitschy novelty.
It was kind of a Weezer-type knockoff song.
Right. I remembered that song. I had no idea that's who it was, but the name Nodasurf, I always thought they were like some skate punk band. So I never really, I judged the book by its cover and never really gave them any listen. But, man, this song just really took me back. To me, it sounds a lot like the Posies. It's off their new album, The Weight is a Gift. It's produced by the same guy that did the new Death Cab for Cutie's record. I believe he did this one in Transatlanticism. So it sounds really, really amazing. But let's play the single off this record. It's track one. It's called Always Love by Nodasurf.
To make a mountain of your life is just a choice. But I never learned enough to listen to the voice that told me always love. Hate will get you every time. Always love. Don't wait till the finish line. Stop. It helps to write it down, even when you've been crossing it out. But always love, hate will get you every time. Always love, even when you wanna fight. Self-directed lives, I wanna know.
Heard that, right?
Yeah.
Your life is that something that's up your alley?
Yeah, it reminds.
Is that a little too bubblegummy for you?
It's borderline too bubblegum. You know, the band that you and I always disagreed on was Fountains of Wayne,
right?
Because I thought they were too cheesy. They're the Stacey's Mom band, for those of you who may know that song from
their lyrics,
Dr. Pepper commercial.
Their lyrics are terrible. I mean, they are very, very cheesy.
And I think Not a Surf is like across the line in my camp from where Fountains of Wayne are.
Right.
And, you know, actually, I'm pretty sure Not a Surf is playing at ACL this year.
I think you're right.
And so I'm excited about seeing them down there.
Well, I'll tell you what. I saw them at South by Southwest, just stumbled upon them playing a MTV day party and somehow snuck in, or a friend got us in. And it's three guys, and they are amazing live. I mean, energy wise, the sound is big for three dudes, and they sound like the albums, but with a lot more energy. It's just, they're an incredible live band. So I'm really hoping I can make it down to ACL to see them. And that's just their one single off this record. They have much more depth than that, and I think you need to give them an honest chance before you label them as kind of a Fountains of Wayne starter kit, because they're definitely not that. Now, that's off their new record, The Weight is a Gift. From what I understand, and I have this album as well, Let Go, this was acclaimed as like one of the quintessential guitar pop albums of the new millennium or the 90s or whatever. And I do have that record. It's a lot better than The Weight is a Gift. So if you want to pick up a Not a Surf record, pick up Let Go and then maybe get the new one. But yeah, Let Go, I mean, every song is incredible. They're the ultimate guitar pop band to me, and I absolutely, totally dig them, and hope to go see them at ACL.
Yeah, they're on my list of bands that I've been meaning to check out, but haven't gotten around to yet.
Well, I'll get you a copy of both of those albums, and I think you'll come around.
All right, well, coming up next, we have some classic audio to play for you. I went way back into the archives for this. I wasn't sure if it was worthy of playing, and maybe it's not, but I gave a listen to it in the break just a minute ago. And I think you'll be amused by it, and it's somewhat topical.
Yes, there's a Mavericks tie-in.
There is a Mavericks tie, because we are the day of Game 6. The Mavs might be moving on to the finals to face the Heat tonight, knock on wood. So we'll listen to some classic Mavs audio next.
Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. When we're bored, we pull a couple of teeth and pick up chicks at Walmart.
11:54, 11:55 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. This is The Orphanage with Davey and Danny. We're wrapping it up today. I lied earlier when I said Ben and Skin would be on after us. I guess in the future they will be, but today it's Ticket Sports Saturday, so I don't know what crew is in here for that.
I think it's Pete
Pete Stein and Ty Walker.
Ty Walker. Okay, we need to get to this because it's we're going to have to go over to get this in. Hopefully Ticket Sports Saturday doesn't have a problem with that. This is audio from 2002. 2002. This was an interview I did with Dirk prior to the 2002 season. And in the playoffs, the season before when they got eliminated, remember that was the series where Dirk got his teeth knocked out?
Right.
And so there's a question in there about his new teeth.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of puts the picture in the frame. So have a listen to how much Dirk hates me.
I've titled this segment, by the way, Dirk Hates Davey.
So in honor of Dirk's 50-point night, here's some classic Dirk audio.
Our Dunham & Miller Morning Show reporter, Generation X David Lane, went on special assignment to Mavericks practice one day and caught up with Mavericks star forward Dirk Nowitzki and had some questions for Dirk about his offseason and the upcoming NBA season.
Okay, here with Dirk Nowitzki, the flying Deutschman, as I like to call you. You think that's funny?
Mm.
No.
That's
all right, congratulations on the new contract. Are you taking applications for a posse or anything?
For what?
For a posse? Hangers-on?
No, I don't even know that.
Not only did you get a new contract this offseason, you got new choppers. How are those working out for you?
Not bad, actually. I'm getting the permanents in today or tomorrow, so hopefully that'll be all right.
Oh, so those aren't the permanents?
No, those are temporaries right now.
Are they going to be in there, bolted in your mouth?
I guess so.
Is that painful, or?
No, not anymore. At the beginning it was, but not anymore.
So you spent a lot of this offseason in Germany with your German coach, had a basketball camp over there. What exactly did you accomplish by playing the saxophone naked and stuff like that?
Is that supposed to be funny, or I don't know.
Oh my gosh!
No, I don't really think so, but
I didn't really
have a chance to play a lot of saxophone lately, and especially not naked.
In the off season, did you have a chance to shag any Spice Girls or anything like that?
Not really. I didn't really have a chance to. So maybe next year.
What about Steve?
You gotta ask him.
No, did you shag Steve?
Oh, no, we're not into that.
Now, in the West, of course, everybody's saying that it's Shaq and the Lakers and Duncan and the Spurs again this year. What's it gonna take for the Mavericks to get over the hump and get past those two teams outside of maybe Bradley Gann, 50
years.
Pounds of turning black?
I don't know. I mean, we've got a couple new guys, a couple veteran players to give us experience, and hopefully that's enough to put us over the hump.
All right, last question for you. You've got this brand new building, this beautiful facility. It's got to be a lot more comfortable than the old Reunion Arena, right?
Oh, for sure. We were happy that we out of Reunion. We got kind of old. And this is probably top class in the league, and we're feeling comfortable here, and we're looking forward to a lot of great years in this building.
I heard that the locker room at Reunion was so cramped that when Gary Trent was in the shower, his dingus was still in the locker room. Is that true?
That's probably not true. I don't know who told you that.
All right, good luck this season, Dirk. Cripple leg.
What'd he say?
He hates you.
Yeah, the sign-off was cripple leg, by the way. I don't know why.
I think he was
something at the time.
I think that would have gone over a little bit better now, you know?
I think...
Is that supposed to be funny?
I think he would have hated me then, now, or ever. I don't have good chemistry with athletes. It just comes down to that. For some reason, I creep them out.
Who do you have good chemistry with, Davey?
Hardly anyone.
I felt so bad for you. That was so tense.
So, yeah, that was classic Dirk audio from 2002 in honor of Dirk's 50-point night and kind of a Mavs preview, if you will, for Game 6.
That really had nothing to do with Game 6, Dave. It's not a preview. You played some audio that was like 5 years old.
See
how you can relate the two.
So maybe it was a total waste of time. But anyway, all right, so that was the debut of The Orphanage.
Let's play that bit of audio again.
Which bit of audio?
The Dirk bit. Let's just hear it again.
No, let's not. Let's not. This has been The Orphanage with Davey and Danny. This is edition one. You know, I guess...
The first one was a pilot.
The first one was a pilot.
Yes.
So when we do the box set, will the pilot be like a bonus feature, or will it be the first episode?
I think it should be a bonus feature, but usually when shows are canceled, don't they usually end after like one or two or three episodes?
Yeah. So like I guess planning on the box set is probably a little premature.
It'll be like one CD-ROM.
All right, so we hope you enjoyed The Orphanage. Ticket Sports Saturday with Pete and Ty coming up next. A whole lot of Mavericks talk coming at you here. Just a short moment. So
you're not
all World Cup. Okay.
Air. Oh. Hey. What? That's Ty.
Where am
Hello,
I?
Hello, Ty.
Which one am I on? This one?
Both of them.
Yeah.
Hey.
You're in stereo.
You need to put them both up right near your mouth and just kind of work them.
So it's like a sword fight.
Right.
All right. So Ticket Sports Saturday.
We're off to a flying start.
Yeah.
What?
Goodbye.
Oh, dear.
Damn it.